For people maybe who don't know what angel sharks are, what are they?
Yeah, so angel sharks are what we call a flat shark. So they're flat-bodied. And if you look at them from the top down, they look very much like a sand angel. So that's where they got their name, was the angel shark. They're very, very flattened, and they bury themselves in the sand because they're ambush predators. So they wait for the food to come to them. So if I were a shark, I think that sounds like a pretty good strategy.
This is the first time you filmed angel sharks in Tralee Bay.
It certainly is, yeah. The first time, as to the best of my knowledge, that they've been filmed through kind of what we call baited remote underwater cameras, which is a bit of a mouthful. But what we do is we put cameras down with bait in front, and it encourages the species to come to us so we can get a better understanding of what lives beneath the waves of Tralee Bay. So over the past 2 years, we've been, with the help of the Marine Institute's equipment and funding by the National Parks and Wildlife Service, we've been putting out cameras to try and build up a picture of the life beneath the waves of Tralee. Research that we've been doing is part of research here in MTU, and it's part of just trying to figure out what is it about Tralee that makes it so special. But it's actually particularly special because our new science building has just been named Uncooin after Tralee Bay, which of course means the harbour, or, you know, somewhere it's meant to harbour our students, but also very much because we are based here on the amazing Tralee Bay. So it's a lovely link.
So you've been researching for 2 years.
So we managed to get the angel shark actually in year one. We saw it twice, which is phenomenal because the angel shark is critically endangered. So it's on the edge of extinction. It's across its entire range. So it kind of goes down towards the Canary Islands. And I suppose Ireland and Wales would be considered kind of the top part of its range. But unfortunately, since the 1960s, the population's just crashed. The fact that we're seeing any angel shark is so incredibly exciting.
They used to be really common in Ireland.
Yeah. So they used to be very common, particularly in Tralee Bay. So Tralee was what we used to refer to as kind of a stronghold or a hotspot for them. So even if you look back through historical images or archive images, you can see that Tralee used to have hundreds and hundreds of them, and they've been counted in huge numbers, just as, you know, not long ago, really, 1960s, 1970s. And then since then, sadly, we've seen a massive crash in that population. So the fact that we've seen one underwater is really exciting because it means that maybe there's, you know, there's hope still. And thanks to all of the community for like recording records as well. So we're doing, you know, the camera work as well, but we're, you know, the community have been great, the local anglers, the local fishing community, kind of saying, oh yeah, I saw one, or we've come across in the past, this is where we used to find them, and all that's been so, so very helpful. And we've actually had some records of some babies as well. So there really is hope, I think, on the horizon, you know, when you're seeing young and you're seeing adults, that maybe given a bit more time, we might see that, you know, them come back again.
Did they become endangered?
Yeah, so they've unfortunately suffered from a lot of pressures. They do like to come into the, you know, shallow areas to give birth. So, you know, things like pollution, climate change, that's all going to impact them. But I suppose once they're adults, the biggest impacts would be that kind of interaction with fisheries. You know, they were never particularly targeted, but they are unfortunately caught as bycatch. So unfortunately that has caused a decline. They're very slow to kind of, their population is very slow to recover. So they take a very long time to reproduce. They only produce very few young. So maybe around, they might start reproducing if they're 10 or 12 years old. And then they only give birth every 2 years, and maybe only to 7 pups that also have to make it to 12 years. All of those factors means that unfortunately their populations just take a very long time to recover if they have any losses. It's a really good, very scientifically robust analysis around the world that's going on. I mean, the team, fair play to them, they're over in Australia at the minute trying to do it for Australia, and they're heading to the Americas next. But it's a huge undertaking. What they're trying to do is globally try to map really key areas. So I mean, there's lots of areas that you'll find sharp. They really want to hone in on like these special sites. So if we were to, you know, try to put measures in to protect species, where would they be? And that's what the ISVA team that we call them, the Important Shark and Ray Area team, are trying to do. So it's a phenomenal amount of work, and they really do rely on very, very scientific and very robust data. So we're delighted to be able to get Tralee over the line to say that it's important for angel sharks and for their reproduction on a global map. You know, you can see that we're special.
Would that lead to any more conservation measures?
Yeah, so I suppose the ISRA is nothing more than just kind of shining a spotlight. I suppose it's just a data gathering exercise really to say these sites are important, and they're kind of meant to act as like a signpost for government and policymakers to say, well, if you're going to do extra measures, we would recommend you do them in these areas. So what the government can now do and the politicians can do is they can take the information that's been collected for them by this team of experts, and they can choose what would be the best measures in each area. There was over 14 areas identified in Ireland, everything from movement areas for the basking shark, which is, I don't know if you've looked on the map, if anyone does want to look, if you go on to the Important Shark and Ray Areas e-atlas, or if you just go on their website, you'll find them atlas, and you can click on each one and see what each area has been designated for. There's like a little fact file. So if you're interested in sharks or skates or chimeras, definitely do have a click on and see around the world the kind of amazing diversity of sharks and rays.
Any other sharks in Tralee Bay?
Yeah, so we've got lots of amazing sharks. Actually, there's the taupe, the smooth hound. There's the smaller, I suppose, cat sharks, which would be the lesser spotted cat shark, or the bullhusk, as some people would know, the bullhusk as well. So yeah, there's quite a few sharks. There's kind of older records of bigger sharks, like the paw beagle even. And if you go out towards the Maori Islands, you can get basking sharks as well. So yeah, there's quite a lot of sharks that I suppose no need to be afraid though.
These sharks are lovely.
Yeah, most of them are kind of, they'd be a bit more nocturnal, so they're going to swim more at the nighttime. Certainly some of them sleep pretty much all day and just only wake up at nighttime. And they really will avoid people at all costs, like they have no interest in you. So the only reason they're coming to my camera is because I've got all this lovely mackerel to say come to me. So honestly, if anyone's swimming, they don't need to be worried.
What makes angel sharks unique?
Yeah, so I suppose because of this flattened approach, so not many sharks do what angel sharks do. They very much what we call demersal or benthic. So they bury themselves in the sand and they cover themselves up with sand. Their back fins can even lie flat so that they become nearly impossible to see, and they literally do just wait for, say, a squid or a small fish to swim across their head, and then they catch it. So it's quite a, you know, a lazy way of fishing, but it's worked for them.